just want to say that it was encouraging to hear you sing and to see so many of you here. That's very nice. So keep it up. You know, I'm going to share a little personal experience that just transpired a few days ago because it kind of leads into what I have on my heart. And we were sitting around in the living room in our home on Lord's Day evening, and the telephone rang. And if you're like us, many of you probably have caller ID. And when I walked over to the phone to answer the phone, it said Jennings. So, you know, I began to get suspicious. So I picked up the phone, and a nice young man on the other end started talking to me, Clayton here. So he was very cordial, very friendly. He exchanged some pleasantries with me and asked about us, and I told him that we were having a nice little family visit. And he said, after a little while, he said, one of the reasons that I called, or the main reason that I called, was to see if you might pick a meeting. Well, maybe you girls here are not going to be able to relate to this, but if any of you young men here have had that experience, you kind of know what happens after that. So I said, okay, I'll pray about that and would appreciate your prayers. He assured me that they would be praying for me. And so that's how it was left. But as I got to thinking about it, the meeting that he wanted me to take wasn't going to work out because we were going to be leaving a little bit early tomorrow, Lord willing. And so I thought, I've got to call Clayton back. So I called him back at work the next day on Monday, and he accepted that. He said, that's no problem, no problem at all. But he said, maybe we could give you a different meeting. Maybe something else would work out. And then he said something else, and I got to thinking about that, and it was a searching question. He said this. He said, do you have something on your heart that you would like to share? And, I got to thinking about that, and my response to him at that time was, I don't have anything particular right now, but, I could look to the Lord about that. And he said, I told him, don't move things all around. He talked about maybe changing the schedule a little bit. I said, don't move anything around for me. And so it was kind of left that way. And so I thought, they've probably already gotten all the speakers lined up. But after I hung up with Clayton on Monday, I started feeling a little bit bad about that. I thought to myself, you probably could have rearranged things so that you could stay and take that meeting. So I just committed to the Lord, and I told the Lord that if he wanted me to say something, that Clayton would call me back. And I had this feeling that I was going to get another call. So the week goes on, and nothing happens for a while. I thought, okay, good. I'll just have a break this year. That'll be nice. I can just sit back and enjoy the conference. And we had company come through, Timothy Lane Roach and Eric Bonebreak and Peter Cederlin. We're happy to have them with us. And we're on our way to, this is Tuesday now, we're on our way to a meeting that Tim had. And Carmen says to me, I meant to tell you, Clayton called. Okay. So we didn't have time to talk right at that time. So I said, okay. And she said, you need to get back with him. I said, okay, I know what's going on. I think the Lord wants me to say something. And, so I did. We did. I sent him a text, and he told me that he wanted me to speak tonight. And I just thought of this, young people, and that is that, it's a lot easier to be in the seat there sitting and listening to someone else. But sometimes the Lord allows things to happen in our life because he wants to produce exercise in our hearts. And that's what I have on my heart, is just a couple of simple things to leave with you. He values so much fellowship with himself from us. that He will allow things in our lives. And I really believe that these things are good for us, these exercises that we might have. So I want to look at just a verse that actually Dave Mearns had in his address yesterday. And it's in Mark chapter 3, Mark's Gospel chapter 3. And it was the very verse that I was thinking of, one of the ones that I wanted to share with you this evening. So Mark chapter 3 and verse 12, or verse 13. And he, the Lord Jesus, goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. Now I think it's beautiful what Dave brought out, and it's along the same lines of what I want to bring out, that the first thing that the Lord emphasizes here is that he called them that they might be with him. And one thing that's not mentioned here in this gospel, if you go to this account, the similar account in Luke's gospel, you find out another little detail that we don't have here, and that is that before the Lord chose these 12 disciples to be with him, it says that he continued all night in prayer. He went up into the mountain, he continued all night in prayer. And then it says in the very next verse that he chose these 12 to be with him. And I just thought of it in this way. You know, it says in Paul's epistle to the Colossians, or to Ephesians, that we've been chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we might be holy and without blame before him in love. And then it goes on to speak about being predestinated unto the adoption of children. And I just thought of it this way, that each one of you here in this room is an individual, and that the Lord chooses us. He chose you before the foundation of the world, just like he chose these. He continued all night in prayer about it, I believe, and then he chose these ones that he was going to pick out. Just like that, before the foundation of the world, he's chosen each one of you in this room. And he's done it for a purpose. To me, it's just overwhelming. Think, why me? Maybe you've said that. Why did he choose me? I don't know. Sovereign grace. His grace, his desire for companionship. And it's humbling to think that he would choose us, but he did. He ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might, and that he might send them forth to preach. You know, sometimes we get that backwards, don't we? We say, well, what can I do for the Lord? What he wants first is he wants our heart's affections. He wants companionship, communion with us. And then the other will fall in its proper place. And it will be spontaneous, too. If you love someone, you like to do things for them. You enjoy doing that. It becomes a joy to do something for someone that you love. And I believe that's the thought, is the Lord wants our hearts. And once he has our hearts, then service is just going to flow, whatever form that it might take. Okay, so that's the first thing that I wanted to leave with you, is that you as an individual have been chosen before the foundation of the world for a special purpose, a purpose of love, by his sovereign grace. I can't explain why any one of us has been chosen, but he has done that. Now let's go over to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I want to leave this little thought with you. I might say, too, that in connection with this fellowship that I talked about, that the Lord craves and desires with each of us individually, is our lives get very busy. And, you know, we heard a little bit about stress at this conference, and I'd like to just see a show of hands of anyone here in this room that has ever felt stressed. Well, that's comforting, to be honest with you. Sometimes Carmen and I will talk about this, and she'll say, "Hun, do you think there's anything that we could do to make life a little simpler? Or when is it ever going to slow down?" You ever talk that way? When is it ever going to slow down? You know, we live in a scene that and a lifestyle that can be very stressful. And stress is not a good companion for communion. they're opposed, you might say. And so it really is true that we have to, as the little hymn says, take time to be holy. We have to make time, if you will, or take time to spend a little bit of time with the Lord, but how he values it. Now, let's just read this little expression in verse 9 of 1 Samuel 3. So we know the story. The Lord begins to call Samuel, and Samuel doesn't know who's calling him. He thinks it's Eli, and he goes to Eli. And so finally Eli realizes that it's the Lord that's calling Samuel. That's who's calling him. And so he tells him what to do in verse 9. So he says, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called us at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Well, I just wanted to bring this. I know there's a lot more in this little passage that could be brought out, but all I want to leave with you, young people, is when you take up the Word of God, which is the way that God communicates with us in this day. He has given us His Word, and He speaks to us through His Word. We have the Holy Spirit within us, dwelling within us. But when you take up the Scriptures, listen for the voice of the Lord. Get in the habit of saying this little prayer, if you will. I think of it as a prayer. When you take up the Word of God, say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And listen for His voice in the Scriptures. And I think you'll understand what I mean. But if you sincerely have that desire and that prayer, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth," then He will reveal Himself to you through His Word in a very precious way. And that's His way of communicating, because He's not here in this scene. But He has given us His Word, and He's promised His presence with us. And we have a sense of that in our hearts. But He speaks through His Word. And just pray that. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And listen for His voice. Now, the last thing I want to leave with you before my 50 minutes runs out is in the end of the Song of Solomon. So the Lord has chosen us. He desires to speak to us, to our hearts, through His Word. But then He likes to hear us, too. You know, that's really what makes a relationship, isn't it? Is communication with one another. And I think us men, for the most part, I would say, it doesn't come naturally to us. I know it's something that I have to work on. Okay, so we know the general story of, or the generally what the theme of this Song of Solomon is, and the dialogue that we have throughout it between the bride and the bridegroom. I just love the way it ends, because we get a little glimpse, you might say, into the heart of the Lord and the relationship that He desires with each one of us. And so He says in verse 13, the bridegroom says, "Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice, cause me to hear it." Isn't that sweet? It's like He's saying to her, you know, others listen to you and they hearken to your voice, but I would like to hear it. And I've pondered this many times, this verse, and I've thought about that the Lord longs to hear our voice. And so this brings in the thought of prayer. And so the basic tenets, the lifeline of our life, if I can put it that way, reading His precious Word, hearing His voice in it, and then speaking to Him in prayer. You know, you might think of the first part of that, thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice. They hear her voice. That might be our testimony, our witness with one another, with the world around us. And that's a wonderful thing. We've heard in these meetings about being a testimony, a witness. But the Lord just longs for us to communicate with Him, and we do that in prayer. And I don't know about you, but sometimes our lives get so stressful and so hectic that it's really hard to sit down and read a little from His Word and hear His voice, and then to kneel on our knees and give thanks to Him and just praise Him, just thank Him and praise Him for who He is and for what He has done and what He's doing in our lives. Well, may the Lord encourage us in that. You know, He's chosen us before the foundation of the world. He wants to communicate with us, and He wants us to communicate with Him.